Jerry.
Amen. It was nice, you know. Janet, who did worship with that good-looking lady that was singing with her, Tina, she teaches music Monday through Friday in the public schools in Uniondale, and I always admire that. We can certainly use, you know, what a great thing, because I've been able to send my kids to Christian school. They went to public school for the first 5 or 6 years. One of the greatest things was, you know how you get kind of nervous when you first, that first kid, especially like when we first released Brandon to school and you're kind of nervous. And we found out that the kindergarten teacher that we were releasing him to at the Merrick Public Schools was a Christian. And it's so great that there's still Gary teaches in the Forest Hills Public Schools who just played, that there's still teachers in the public school system that, what's that? Roxana and Christina's here, so many. And yeah, Mariah. That, you know what? God's got his remnant. And there's kids that aren't just being educated, but they're being prayed for. You know, what a great thing to know that there's prayers going up for kids in the public school system. And they're not just interested in a paycheck, but they're interested in their souls and their education. Amen. Well, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last month and a half since the hurricane. And I was just kind of thinking, like, you know, I mentioned before we worshiped, like, sometimes when the regular routine is interrupted. This week, the Beasleys are all away. And so it's like, okay, so maybe we're not going to have the same instrumentation and all of that stuff, but just think back when you came here this morning, what was your mindset when you were coming, you know? Do we really think about, am I coming, you know, to church service because, well, that's what I've done for the last 10, 20, 30, or for some even more than that. You know, so we'll go and we'll sing some songs and we'll hear a sermon and then we'll head back out. Or did you just really come because you want to hear from God and you want to respond to what He has to say this morning? And you just want to let Him know how much you appreciate Him when we have an opportunity to worship Him and just connect and engage and say, God, I know there's stuff that you need to change in me, and I want to just be able to receive what it is that you want to change in me this morning, or what you want to say to me about things that maybe need to change in me. I know last week we talked about just the indescribable nature of God, this awesome, incomprehensible nature of God, that we just have to admit that, you know, He is something we're not totally going to be able to get our minds around. So we can't just create a metaphor, you know, and hold up a clover, a three-leaf clover, and say, here it is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and this is what God's like, or, you know, an egg with the shell and the yolk and the white, or water can be liquid steam or ice, and say, oh, I get God now, He's like this. And that doesn't mean that we can't use metaphors to understand certain aspects of God. Jesus did. Jesus said that God's like the good shepherd. He's like the gate. He's like the bread of life. He's like living water. But we have to just remember that the point is that these things, again, help us to understand aspects of God, but by no means are they going to encapsulate the full nature and the awesomeness of who God really is. We can't say, you know, I understand the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He's just like this. No, God's not like anything. and I know that can frustrate some of us because we, you know, we want to understand stuff and we want to be able to figure everything out. But when it comes to God, we just have to be willing to say that we can't get Him completely. There's so many scriptures, and we looked at a bunch of them last week that just remind us that we're not going to be able to totally get our mind around who God is completely. One I just wanted to mention this morning is found in Job 11, verses 7 and 8. It says this, "Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They're high as the heavens. What can you do deeper than Sheol? What can you know?" Those are just questions that we're not going to be able to answer. So the response is not to try and figure it all out and not to just try and study and learn, though we should study and learn, but ultimately that we respond to what we do understand. And when we see His awesomeness, to just simply respond in worship. I really think there's been a prominent theme that the Holy Spirit has been communicating to the church over the last 10 years. And I think it's come a lot from maybe the younger people that have grown up in the church. And they've seen a frustration maybe with a lot of their friends that are outside the church. And seeing how they kind of have a cynicism or whatever about the people inside the church. And I think one of the things was that they felt that the people in the church like to discuss truth more than to respond to truth. That they like to talk about it, but they don't necessarily like to apply it. And I've seen a great move within the body of Christ of wanting to just get out there, even during the hurricane, the way churches were out there and mobilizing and responding to, I think, this call that the Holy Spirit's been putting out to the church. Understanding that our need is not necessarily a greater knowledge, but a greater conviction that results in action. James 1:22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We know that one of the best things you can do for your faith is hear the Word of God, right? We always say that, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But James says here in this verse, in 1:22, that there's a way in which you can hear the Word, and it doesn't necessarily build faith, but it builds deception. In other words, people can go to church and say, "Wow, you know what? It was pretty cool. I learned something new about God today." And they deceive themselves because they think they're better off by learning something from the Word of God. It makes sense, right? I mean, that's a good thing if I learn something from the Word, right? That's a good thing. Well, James says, not necessarily. He says, if you only hear it and then you don't apply it, you're deceived. You may actually start to think that you're a Christian because you're learning the Bible rather than living the Bible. James says, no, you have to do what it says. In fact, if you don't do what it says, you're better off not knowing what it says. He goes on to say, In chapter 4 of his book, verse 17, he says, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." So if you don't do it, that's one thing. But if you know not to do it and then you still do it anyway, James says that's worse. I once heard someone say that going to a Christian bookstore, according to James, could be almost like buying more judgment upon yourself, because all you're going to do is educate yourself more, and if you don't actually do it, you could actually put yourself in a more precarious circumstance, you know? It's almost like you'd rather be, if you're not going to apply it, then you're better off just being blissfully ignorant that you don't know about it. Because James says once you know it, then you're going to be responsible for what you have learned. So it's not always good to just learn the Word of God unless you apply it. See, when we learn about how unfathomable God is, it shouldn't just lead to more discussions, but unity. You know, just recognizing how huge he is. That's a way to respond, and it changes us. That it would cause us to apply it, to respond, and ultimately change. And that's what knowing God is supposed to do. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. That's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, listen, this is not just to increase our knowledge, but to change you, but you're going to need help, and I'm sending help. And that's why he even calls the help that he sends the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He wanted us to respond so bad that he actually sent a member of the Godhead to reside right inside of us so that we have supernatural help to pull this off. And I think sometimes we don't really take advantage or acknowledge that fact. Galatians 5:25 says this, since we lived by the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. I love the way the NIV says it. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So walking or keeping in step with the Spirit implies that there's this ongoing thing. We're walking in Him. We're keeping in step with Him. It's like this relationship, not just a one-time exhilarating experience, but an actual walking and keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Just a couple verses before that, he tells us what walking in the Spirit or keeping in the Spirit looks like. And that's where he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Here's what it looks like if we're keeping in step with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Man, when you read that, how many of you go, yeah, that describes me? Right? You know what I think is a healthy exercise sometimes, though? Just to imagine yourself with all of those things in full place. And how awesome that would be. What that would feel like, what it would look like, that you just had a greater capacity for love, and your response to people was always motivated by love. To have a joy, that there's an exuberance that comes from another resource rather than just the circumstances that we find around us. Peace. You know? Wouldn't that be amazing? Like if you really could not be stressed out. Peace. Patience. I mean, that's like an amazing thing to demonstrate in New York, you know? Get in the express line where you're only supposed to have 12 items and the person in front of you has 20 and you actually don't freak out. Kindness, goodness. I looked up those words. The actual words in the Greek say useful in manners and morals. I thought that was interesting. Useful. In other words, it's not just a personality trait, but in the way that you reach out to people. Kind, good, kindness, goodness, just a faithfulness, a super loyal and committed person. Man, are those qualities needed in today's world? Gentleness, even when people treat you harshly. Self-control over those things that just wage war in our soul, those desires that well up, and just being able to say, you know what, I'm not going there. You know what, I'm not watching that. That's what God wants. For us to not just study it, but to respond. And he says that we have help, a helper. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul writes this way. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the word for filled there, it means continually filled. Like you're continually being filled. Not like, you know, you get filled and you're good, you know. But the Greek word there means a continuous filling. Again, it's like this relationship, continually walking step by step, continually being filled with the Spirit. But why does it say filled? You know, that confuses me a little bit, because we talked about last week how it's not this, you know, this force that we can get filled with. Jesus said it's a person. When he talked about the Holy Spirit, he said him. He didn't say it. The Holy Spirit is a person. So why does it refer to something that you can be full of, like a liquid? In fact, even the comparison that Paul gives there is, he says, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, don't be filled with wine, which is like a liquid, right? But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, is the Holy Spirit like a liquid that we can be filled up with? Well, we're doing this study on the Holy Spirit in my small group, and this really helped me. The next lesson that we're going to be doing, it said it like this. It said, you know what? If you're filled with wine, too much wine, it takes control of you, right? It takes control of you. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the personality of the Holy Spirit, He has control of you. So it's really about what has control of you, allowing and submitting and opening up for the Holy Spirit to just have control. Being controlled. The New Living Translation says it like this: don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. I like that concept. And I often realize how I do so many things in life without really walking in the Spirit. You know, just trying to be Spirit conscious no matter what I'm doing. I've said this before, whether it's, you know, you get in your to-do list mode and it's like, okay, I got to get gas, I got to pick this up at the store, I got to get back to work, I got to do this, and not really thinking, well, maybe I'm not supposed to just get gas. Maybe I'm supposed to talk to somebody while I'm there. You know, we went to go get, I have a lot to learn with this, because I'm always on a schedule, you know, and I'm like Mr. Timeline, you know. Okay, I want to get this done in an hour or whatever. And Tina, she doesn't even wear a watch, you know. And so it's like God knows who to pair you up with, you know. And we're at the furniture store, and she, you know, we're trying to find a piece of furniture. We want to get this couch where, you know, you have the pull-out bed so you can have people stay over your house. And while we're there, she finds a scarf on the floor. And she's like, oh, and she saw an elderly lady, and she asked her, you know, did you lose this? And the lady did. Well, I would have been done at that point, you know. Then we can go off, get to the couch, and let's move. Come on, we got 20 minutes left. And she starts talking to the lady, ends up, she lives like two doors down or two blocks over from our house in Merrick that got flooded. Her house got flooded too, and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, this lady's telling her how at like 9 years old, her parents, she lived in Germany, elderly Jewish lady, at 9 years old, was put on a train by her parents, who never saw her again because they knew they weren't going to make it, and they knew their kids wouldn't make it if they didn't put them on a train and get them out of there. And one thing led to another. She, you know, of course, tells her that I'm a pastor, and next thing I know, she's got me getting the card out of my wallet and giving it to the lady. The lady invited us to come over her house. She wants us to come over and visit with her. I mean, having a kind, maybe God has something more important. If we just learn to walk in the Spirit, step by step, you know, when I stand before God, am I going to be there? Is He looking to see whether I got my to-do list done? Or is He going to be looking to see if I was walking step by step in the Spirit? It's a lifelong process. We're constantly pursuing it to learn how to walk in the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to manifest its fruits in our lives. I like to always say that it's a collaborative effort. We are engaged, and He, the Holy Spirit, is engaged with us. We have to do it together, and there's His power and our effort. I've used this example before, but I think it's worth repeating. What if you New Year's resolution, you decide you want to lose some weight, so you get a treadmill. Okay, you have the treadmill for the month of January, and then finally, you return it to the store that you got it from, and he's like, well, what's the problem? I didn't lose. Well, yeah, but was there a problem with the belt? No. Well, did you use it? No, I never got on it. Well, I think sometimes we can do that when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know, we ask Him to free me from lust, and all we do, and it's great. We need to pray, but you know what? When they prayed for God to part the Jordan so that they could cross over, it didn't say that God parted it in that particular instance. It says it was at high, very high. And it was probably like, man, you step in that sucker. It's not like, ankle-deep river. It was like either God's going to split it or you drowned. And they made the first step. As they made the first step, God split the Jordan. And sometimes I think we're content to just camp out on the banks. There's practical ways where we can see the Holy Spirit join us. I always remember, you remember when Promise Keepers was really big back in the late 90s? And I remember a guy saying, you know what he does? Is because he had struggled with pornography for years. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and just never seemed to get the victory over it. And then he started doing practical things and God would join him. What did James say? James didn't say, just pray and watch God do it. He said, you draw nigh to God, and then you see how God draws nigh to you. This guy would go to a hotel room. First thing he would do when he was on business trips, because he'd be on business trips by himself a lot, he'd go in the room and disconnect the cable to the television and bring it down and hand it to the receptionist at the front desk and says, would you mind just keeping this? And if you like, I'll put it back in after I check out. And she goes, why? He says, I just don't want to even have the temptation to be watching something that I shouldn't. Well, you don't have to buy it. I know, but you know what? If the cable's not there, I won't even have the opportunity to consider it. And the Holy Spirit joins him. His effort, the Holy Spirit's power. You know, it's like, okay, so you want to go on a diet, and you're driving to work, and there's Dunkin' Donuts. And it's like, well, God, maybe this one time, I could have a donut. And you know what? The Holy Spirit tells you it's okay on your third time around the block, right? You pull in. I mean, it's like, are we willing to, I've had a grudge. Maybe it's a grudge. Somebody in your family haven't talked. And you're praying for God to give you the grace to forgive that person. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to pick up the phone and make the first step and let God join you in the effort. Sometimes we have to make the first step. We have to step into the Jordan and God will join us. Otherwise, sometimes they kind of feel like our prayers are that treadmill, man. We just pray, but we don't step out and really believe that God's going to do something. Okay, you prayed for God to do something. Now step out. Let's see how He meets you in your effort. Receiving freedom and healing, though, I want to also be honest about, generally, a lot of things, especially tough habits or things that we struggle with, I find, at least in my own life, that they're not always quick to come, and rarely do they come as I'm just a passive participant, like I'm just asking God to do something for me. Now listen, God is certainly able and capable to just deliver us from something. Offhand, I can't think of my own self personally where I just prayed and God just, I can remember my former pastor, Pastor Tom, I've mentioned this before, Tom Grazioso at the Full Gospel Church of Oceanside. He really had an experience with God at 16 years old, like a lot of kids do in youth group or young life. And he was just awed by his new venture in faith with Jesus Christ. And he remembered after about 3 weeks, he was walking somewhere and he went to get something out of his shirt pocket. And as he went to get it, it was a pen or something, he remembered, or it just dawned on him, he hadn't smoked for the last 3 weeks. Didn't even realize it, hadn't even thought about it. But it just kind of left him as he got immersed in God, in the Holy Spirit. God just delivered him. It was totally God. And God can do that. And God often does that with some people. That's not really been my experience, but sometimes, often, it's a journey that takes time, sometimes a very long time, and it takes perseverance, it takes participation on our part, and we have to get on the treadmill and run. Merely looking at the workout machine doesn't cut it. Here's what Paul said in Romans 12:11. Not lagging behind in diligence. That's something we can offer God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews says. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. I can't force the Holy Spirit to give me the guidance or the help I think I need. I just can't. But I can make the moves and pray where I need help. Good time. You know, one of the areas for me to hopefully, I want to be that is right. And I just remember what Dobson said, you know. He says, you know, because he does special speaking and he'll speak maybe once here. And that's got to be pretty cool, though. I would like to do that, you know, where you can travel and you just get one really good message and you just preach the same sucker, you know, all the way across the United, you know. But you guys hear it every week. So he's like, listen, it's one thing when God inspires you for a message. But he says, doesn't always come once every 7 days. And I can remember once when my office was still over here, and I think I've mentioned this before, and just, you know, praying and struggling over a message that just refused to be birthed, you know? And in the middle of it, Joel knocks on the door, and he wanted something, and he's like, yeah, man, I'm good. I got a devotion for the youth group tonight. I feel like I know what I'm doing, and I'm like, okay, that's good, you know? And then I go back, and then TK knocks on the door, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm just feeling good. Like, I feel like God gave me club talks for the next 6 months. Like, you know, and I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, you know. And then he heads up, and I'm still seeking God. And then he comes back in, he goes, no, they want me to speak at a banquet. I just got a fantastic idea for that, too. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then I go back, and I'm like, you know what? I realize God is giving them my message. Why is he... You know, and so it doesn't always come. The Holy Spirit gives us guidance or help the way that I think that I need it. But I think he has good reasons for the way he does things, sometimes why he's silent. For instance, I've never really felt like I've gotten total, like, revelation from God when it came to critical decisions or crossroads in my life. When I went for a job interview, when I went to change jobs, man, I would have loved to have, you know, and not that God can't do that. He's spoken dreams to people. I just never really got one, you know. Like, yes, Greg, you were to take this job. Man, praise God, but just didn't happen, you know. Trying to figure out whether it was a job change, or just even coming here for full-time, switching from secular work into full-time ministry. Sometimes I did wish that the Holy Spirit would just send me like a postcard, right? or an email. Okay, I'll update it. An email or a text message, you know, that just outright tells me, here's what God, because you know what? Let's face it, wouldn't you? If God's just sent you an email, told you exactly what he wants you to do, I'd do it. If you knew it was God, but he doesn't. He doesn't always do it that way. Actually, I think seldom that he does it that way. And that used to frustrate me, but I just have come to suspect, like I said before, that I think there's good reason why the Holy Spirit often works this way. God, you know what? If I have to grapple with these decisions a little bit, I've got to think them through, and I've got to pray, and I've even got to struggle a little bit in prayer. I've got to examine my motives and assess the future, have conversations with other spirit-filled believers. That's what Proverbs says, right? Wisdom comes in the multitude of counselors, but then you go back to Psalm 1, it says, but don't take counsel from the ungodly. So we take the whole counsel of the Word of God. It says there's nothing wrong with talking to other believers, gathering wisdom within the multitude of what they have to say, and then just taking responsibility for my choices. You know what? I think I grow in ways that would never be possible if I simply got that email or that postcard. And you know, if God's, he's interested in a lot more than just cleaning up our externals, you know? He's interested in who we're becoming. And often it's in that delay and the praying and the grappling that he develops things in us. Just like the fruits of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit would simply grant me patience, wouldn't that be awesome? Just give me patience. There it is. I got it. Don't get frustrated anymore. I can sit in line all day. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't happen. Gentleness or self-control. Just, it'd be awesome if he would just instantly deliver me from selfish attitudes. I would gladly receive it. But often, it's works with me in my struggle, and I gain a little ground every day, and I grow in ways that I just don't think would be possible the other way. Again, God's primary concern isn't just for our external situation or our appearance, it's for the kind of people we're becoming. And just remember that God's silence and delays does not mean his absence. It's not his absence. It's easy to start feeling that way. But we know he's capable of making himself understood, and when he has a direction to give or deliver from a sin, when we're really at a place where we can receive it. But he knows what is going on to do a more complete work within us and not just an external escape. We can't force his hand, and it's not wise to try. We read about people who forced his hand in the Bible. Terrible things happen. But there are things we can do. We can make our minds and actions just increasingly receptive to his presence. You know, next time you get annoyed, consider it an opportunity to be receptive to the Spirit of kindness. Lord, how would you like me to respond? I want to keep in step in this situation. I don't want to freak out. Next time somebody's taking a lot longer, then maybe we open up to God's presence for that and look at them as opportunities to grow, that we respond to the Spirit. Maybe that's how the Holy Spirit works in our life at times. It's not always just this great euphoric experience on my knees. Sometimes it's in the down, in the trenches, working with people and God using various personalities to develop his fruits within me. Before I read Romans 12:11, it says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and then it does say devoted to prayer. So I don't want to just do that. Just take these fruits of the Spirit and let's just take a moment to be still before God and let Him speak to us for a moment before we head out those doors this morning. Just kind of praying that, you know what, God, these things are true of You. Let them be true of me. Let them be true of me. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we just start with the root of love. Again, Lord, we just ask You to expand our capacity for this. You said, what good is it if we only love those who love us? But You call us to the next step, to love those who don't necessarily love us. You said even the publicans, some of the worst rip-off artists of the day even did that. They even loved the people who loved them. But You call us beyond that, Lord. And we're going to need the supernatural ability of Your Holy Spirit to do that. Lord, I pray for joy. As Keith talked about that, this week's candle on the Advent wreath, and we were just talking, Keith and I, and just saying, you know, man, we've certainly been given a lesson, so many people, that joy is not something that so many have been able to extract from their circumstances, because anything that maybe it gave them joy in this world was taken away. And Father, we ask for the supernatural joy that comes from Your Holy Spirit, Father, from another resource, not the resources of this life, but from Your life, God. Your peace, Your patience, were You wanting me to go ahead while I waited, while You considered patience? Kindness and goodness, Lord. Faithfulness. Give us a second wind, Lord, when we want to throw in the towel. Let us demonstrate a supernatural faithfulness, Lord. Your gentleness. Holy Spirit, empower us for self-control. Thank You, Lord, that it's not just up to us, but as we draw nigh to You, You will draw nigh to us. Help us to just have a heightened conscious awareness of Your Holy Spirit within us as we make those steps in faith in whatever area You're calling us to, whether it's to reach out to somebody or deal with
character traits within us that are inhibiting our ability to experience you in a different way, Father. Lord, we don't want any of these things inhibiting our ability to walk in your Spirit, step by step, in step with you, Lord. God, teach us how to respond and apply what we've talked about even here this morning, Lord. And I ask you to start with me, Lord. Right here, this Christmas, 2012. For your glory. And your honor. Amen. 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 Well, listen, I hope I see everybody here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, okay? Get that shopping done, but in the spirit, amen?